is a passage that is an interesting one, to say the least. Heard a lot of sermons on it, but I think you may find that there's kind of a, there's some stuff in here that it's a little quieter, and as you dig into it, you'll find it's amazing. Let's pray again. Lord, we ask for faith, for asking faith, faith to believe in you, yes, saving faith, but then, oh, asking faith that says, Lord, you are able to do incredible things, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Exceedingly abundantly more, as your word translates it, as it's translated elsewhere. Lord, give us grace for this, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the breathtakingly beautiful things about God is the way that He bends to us. We see this from the whole story of creation where he breathes the breath of life into a lump of clay and it becomes a living soul. We see it in the cross where Jesus bends to us in our brokenness and our sinfulness and draws us to Himself, to the very heart of the Father. And God just doesn't do it in those places. He does it again and again throughout Scripture. And He continues to do it. And the beautiful thing is He doesn't have to do it. But in His kindness and His mercy and our weakness, He does it again and again. And as you and I walk with Him over time, you can't help seeing it. I saw it just the other day. It was the morning that our family was heading out of town last week for a brief vacation. And as you know, it had snowed about a foot here in our area. A couple of days before, we were heading to the airport that morning. The temps were still below 20 degrees. The roads were bad. We really did leave with plenty of time, or at least I thought. But I'll tell you, by the time we got to the airport, it was one of those situations where it was like, Carrie, you take your mom, you and Stephanie and the baby, you guys go to the gate, I'll catch up with you. Yeah, right. I get into the parking garage at the airport, and I go through, and of course I'm praying for a parking space as I'm going along, and it seems like, you know, either there's that person who's so slow right in front of you, or just as you're coming up on a space, somebody nabs it. So I start to fuss my prayers. It's like, oh, come on! You ever do that? You know, it's like, maybe you did that during a basketball game yesterday, just saying. You know... But I go through the whole second floor of the parking garage at RDU fussing my prayers. Oh, come on. And it's early. It's the first flight out. I'm thinking, sure, we're not going to have trouble. And then I get up to the third floor, and the same thing starts to happen. And I'm fussing my prayers through the third floor, and then there's this moment. And you have to understand, we were in real danger of missing the plane. And one flight had already been delayed. And if we missed this one, then the whole trip would have been thrown into disarray. We would not have gotten to go. And so here I am, I'm praying about it, and I got nothing. I got nothing. And I'm fussing my prayers. And then just as I'm... Something happens again where I miss a space, this still small voice, and you know how that is. It's not an audible voice that you just sense in your spirit, and you know, and it's actually verbal. There's this sense of, well, Instead of fussing your prayers, why don't you try asking, believing that you're really going to find a space? Why don't you try it that way? In other words, shift from this whole negative into that, quiet yourself and really believe that you're going to find a space. Okay. I'm not very good at this sometimes, but I'm going to, okay, come on. You know that scene, if you've ever seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where he takes that step of faith. You know, sometimes it's that hard for us, right? But I do it, and as soon as I turn the corner, boom, there it is, right by the elevator. And I head down the elevator, and we make it to the gate, and they'd already called for the flight to leave, but we got on. And it worked. And that was a good thing. And I felt like in my asking, it was okay to ask that, because our family had some losses recently in that column, and we needed some wins. And it was like, Lord, please. But still, I know it's easy to take issue with that story, and it could go something like this. Well, the skeptic could say, well, chalk it up to coincidence. Or a sincere believer could also say, well, praying for parking spaces? I mean, really? Would God care about something like that? And you could come up with some good theological reasons for saying, well, that's a very trivial matter. But there are also some problems with the kind of thinking that says that we shouldn't pray about trivial matters. And please hear me carefully in that. The first is that saying that we shouldn't pray about trivial matters ironically limits our understanding of the greatness of God. God is great enough to delight in the smallest of things. And there's a beauty in him about that. Just look at a hummingbird. The second danger with saying that we shouldn't pray about something so small is that it takes the wonder out of our daily walk with him. You see, God is either personal and concerned with the intimate details of our lives, or he isn't. And Jesus gives us every indication that he is. Just read the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about the birds of the field and you being much more valuable than they are. And if we're to give ourselves fully to him, shouldn't we also give him the smallest things as well? So you have to be very careful about saying, oh no, some things are too trivial. I think that the sound biblical case is no. God wants us to pray about everything. Scripture says, in all things, right? And I believe that this is one of those areas where God, in his mercies we were talking about earlier, bends to us. And that Scripture teaches us this. But it's a difficult lesson in some ways for us to learn. But let's look at this place in Scripture. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, Matthew 14, verse 22 and following, and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And when the disciples saw him, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, "Tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, and this is an interesting thing, by the way, immediately Jesus reached out his hand. That tells you how close Peter already was that Jesus has to do that. Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Now there is so much in this passage. I mean, we could spend so much time going over this, but I want to zero in this morning on two main things, and they are just Peter's question and Jesus' answer. Look at verse 28 and the first part of verse 29. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Okay. Now at this point, throw out everything you've thought about this passage before, because we've all heard it many times before, and we look at it with certain preconceived notions. Just look at it as somebody who's reading the Bible for the first time, and ask yourself, what kind of an odd request is that? Huh? I mean, think about it for a moment. What does it matter if Peter walks on the water or not? I mean, honestly, where else do you see this happening anywhere in Scripture? We don't see this established as any kind of a precedent for the church. You don't see any of the disciples walking on the water anywhere. It's an odd request. And not only that, he's not asking with a lot of faith, "Lord, if it's you," right? The interesting thing here is that Peter asks at all. Why would he ask Jesus something like that? And I think the simple answer is, because he can. Jesus is okay with it. And because he is, I think there's a lot that we can learn from this passage about making requests of God. So let's go ahead and move straight to applications with three observations we can extrapolate from this text to help us as we pray. Here's the first. What Peter is doing is he's staying open to God. He's staying open. He's trying in this moment. You know, if you don't believe that God is concerned with things that seem trivial, you're not going to pray about them. You're going to compartmentalize your life. It's like, well, you know, I've got this stuff over here that I know I have to attend to, and that's all fine, and church is over here. And that's never a good thing, right? But if God is personal, he wants us to walk with him moment by moment. And it stands to reason that he's going to want us to pray about momentary things. Again, Scripture makes this clear. Jesus makes clear that God is concerned with the details of our lives, and he will show us if something is trivial or not. You know, you've heard people say, well, you know, don't sweat the details. And then sometimes there's the rejoinder, you know, God is in the details. And the question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that he wants us to come to him and to present our requests to him, to live with imagination open to his love, open to his goodness in the moment? I mean, that's the thing I love about this request. Tell me to come to you on the water. Huh? I mean, where does that come from? Think about that. I mean, maybe that's Peter just being impulsive. And God says, okay, I can work with that. All right, come. But the beautiful thing, again, is he's open, right? He's open. And that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Am I open? Am I really open? Am I in that place where I'm saying, God, yes, yes. I believe you can do things. Not just great things. I believe little things. And I want to walk with you. Here's the second observation. Let requests start with Jesus. Where did Peter get the idea of walking on the water? He saw Jesus doing it. At least he thought it was Jesus. And then he realizes, yeah, it really is. But the idea, right, started with keeping his eyes on Jesus. And as his disciples, as his followers, we need to look for his leading. And it may come in surprising ways as we pray about what to others may seem the most trivial of things, like parking spaces. But at the heart of this is whether or not we are sincerely trying to live with him and for him. Do our concerns ultimately have him at heart and others at heart for their care, for his glory? Are we drawing near to him in this? Is it his glory that we are after more than our own? I believe that God often gives us more freedom than we realize in making our requests. I mean, I think about some prayers that I've prayed that God answered, and, you know, maybe my motives were just 10% right in praying that prayer. But somehow God in his mercy met me in that place because he's working with me where I am. Again, he bends to us. You know, in one place, Jesus talks about asking anything. But what he says is asking in my name. In other words, again, with him at heart. And as we engage him, he will lead us through these steps. He will either convict us and show us, well, that request, you know, maybe you could do a little better. Or this is an area where I want you to wait, so just stay close to me as you're waiting. Or this is an area where I'm trying to build up your faith. Or this is sometimes it's a place where, you know, he's saying, well, you're just going to have to trust me. But as we keep our eyes on him, he will lead us through. Remember, what Peter is doing is he isn't just asking, Jesus, I want to do this kind of weird thing. He's also asking for permission. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. So you can see that there's both the request, this kind of wide open request, but it's also a request that is made in that place of submission to him. Tell me. There's free will. There's the component also of permission. And Jesus says in response, come. And as soon as he heard that, Peter stepped out. And when we reach for God and want to follow him, when that's the big picture of our lives, when we want to stay close to him about the bigger work of his kingdom, we are also going to see him work in smaller things as well. And that brings us to the third observation. We need to look to Jesus with believing faith. You know, there's a difference between throwing up a request to God to see if it works and actually praying, believing that something will happen. And let me tell you, that's hard for me by nature. I am a rational skeptic by nature. And I can think of a lot of reasons why things can't happen. I can think of a lot of good theological reasons why maybe God shouldn't answer a prayer. And sometimes I have to dig just so deeply into my pockets for that mustard seed. And it's all I can do to just sort of hold it up before God, before I drop it again and have to look for it again and hold it up. That whole sense of believing as I'm praying. But I'm learning to pray like this more because it matters. Many years ago, the brilliant Harvard philosopher William James studied people filled with faith and was amazed with them. And he wrote, "Believe that life is worth living, and your belief will help create the fact." I love that quote. What James is on to, he's also a person of faith. God meets us in that place as we step forward in faith, believing. There's something about faith, not only saving faith, that's where we begin, but what we might call faith in God in the moment. That kind of faith matters to God. And I think that's one reason why we have this account preserved for us in Scripture. Because again, you look at it for the first time and it's like, what? You know, what kind of a request is that? But just look at Peter. I mean, there he is. This is Peter pre-denial. I mean, you know, this is Peter before it's, Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. This is Peter, warts and all, walking on the water. And just look at him go. Hold that moment in your mind. If you would, for just a moment. I know. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He sinks like a stone, Peter the rock. Yes, I know. But think about it. That's why we have the picture on the front of our bulletin that we do. I mean, here is Peter. I'm walking here, you know? It's amazing, isn't it? It really is amazing. But then the wind is blowing, and the waters are rough, and he even after all of that, and I'd say because of all of that, in one way, I mean, it's such an incredible thing, he takes his eyes off of Jesus. Down he goes. But still, it happened. It happened. For several steps, it happened. I mean, that matters because think about it. Jesus is so far off that they don't recognize him yet. Peter goes enough of a distance that Jesus can just reach out and grab him. So several steps. Peter is walking. Jesus is walking Both of them are walking on the water. And of course, Peter is doing it all because of Jesus. And the important thing not to miss is that Peter would never have walked on the water if he hadn't asked. Again, he did it entirely in Jesus' strength, but it all started with a step of faith. A step of faith that seems like this trivial thing, but then becomes something huge. And as I look at that, as one of Peter's younger brothers in the faith, I want to look at that and I want to say, me too! You know? I mean, maybe it wouldn't be walking on the water. Maybe it's something. Probably wouldn't be. It'd be something unique for me. It'd be something unique for you. But as you look to Jesus and keep your eyes on Him, He'll lead you into those moments if you're open. If you're open. So as I look at this, I want to say, yes, Lord, me too. Help me to ask. Help me to believe. Help me to know when you're saying no, when I'm asking, for less than the best reasons. But oh, help me to ask. What does James say, the epistle of James? You do not have because you what? Do not ask. I want to err on the side of asking. Help me to ask. Help me to live by faith. Lead me in asking. And help me to look to you with faith and live. Hey, I may not walk on water. Maybe that was just for Peter. But God has other things. Just for me. Just for you. Unique to us in our circumstances, because that is who He is. He bends to us. Because He loves us. He loves us. And oh, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss His love, and I don't want to miss seeing what God alone can do. Am I open? Are you open? May we pray. Are you open to Him? For that first step of saving faith that says, yes, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. But I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I need you to forgive me. Oh, Lord, clean me. Forgive me. Save me. And Lord, I want to live with your love in my heart. I don't want it to be all about me. Oh, Lord, lift me out of this. Pray that, and He will meet us in that place. He promised. He said, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. But then for that next step, Lord, help me to ask. Help me to look to you with the faith of a child that has imagination and creativity and says, yes, Lord, all things are possible for you. Father, oh, we tend so easily to put qualifiers and quantifiers on it, don't we? But because our God is good, He will show us as He is the desire of our heart. That's what Scripture says, delight yourself in Him, right? And He will give you the desires of your heart. Some misquote that thinking that's about stuff. It isn't. He is our ultimate heart's desire. And as He becomes that, He leads us so that we can ask even about stuff that just seems odd. And we will see Him move again and again. Lord, thank You that You want us to come to You believing. And Lord, You know how hard this is for us. You know how easily we qualify it. But oh, thank You that what matters most is You. And as long as we're near You, You Yourself are the best answer. So we rest in You, and we praise You that we can ask, and we pray as Your disciples did, those who already believed. Lord, increase our faith. In Jesus' name.